appreciate the prayers been offered and ask an interest in your prayers tonight as we approach the Word of God. A text will be found in Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Very short little psalm, a very powerful lesson for us tonight. It's been a powerful lesson for a long time, and it's still just as applicable tonight as it ever has been. And with all that we've got that's coming against us in the world, from the affairs going on in the world, and the world system at large, and this old flesh of ours that we have to deal with, and with Satan always after us. You know, Peter says he's a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion. He goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Now, from what I've read about a roaring lion, when they're about to pounce on their prey, they're not roaring. Most of the time when they're roaring, they're reminding other lions that this is their territory. So Satan is always on the prowl. This is his realm that he operates in. And he's always on the job. But thankfully, he's defeated. Amen. He's got a little time. And he does not, I don't know that he wastes any time. But our consolation is he's a defeated enemy. But he's like a dog on a chain. And as long as you stay away from the length of that chain, you're okay. But if you happen to venture into the wrong places within the reach of that chain, you might get hurt. So we have to be mindful. In this world, at all times, we've got an enemy. We've got troubles. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. But he didn't leave it there, did he? He said, be of good cheer. Oh, it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy especially when we hear much about what's going on in the world today, it's so easy to get discouraged and lose heart. That's when, like that song we sang tonight that Elder Michael Goins wrote, that's when we flee to the cross. That's when we flee to Jesus for our refuge. That's when we remember that the Lord is our strength, very present help in trouble. As a matter of fact, the help that the Lord is more present than our trouble. The trouble may have just started, but the Lord's been with us all along. He knows all about our troubles, and he's able to supply our every need. I hope you found Psalm 15 by now. All right? I've in my study of this, I've summarized it as abiding in God's presence. Abiding in God's presence. Won't that be a glorious time when we're able to be in his presence with all the redeemed family of God, without the loss of one, with perfect bodies, with a perfect heart, with a perfect mind that loves God as it should, and is able to express it in pure praise and adoration? Won't that be a glorious time when all the sins of this earth have been left behind? That'll be a glorious time. Well, Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless in John 14. He said, I will come to you. He also said, if a man keep my words, I'll love him, my Father will love him, and we'll come and make our abode with him. So he's not left us alone. He's not left us without help. But sometimes we're not seeking that help. Sometimes we're not thinking along those lines, are we? So Psalm 15. It begins with two questions. And the rest of the psalm, for the most part, answers those two questions. And then at the end, it pronounces a blessing upon those who are able to find that condition. So I've kind of summed it up for you already. But he says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just abide in that tabernacle and dwell in that hill without worrying about the troubles of this world? Well, we have it in part. But like we've quoted Elder Eddie Whitby a number of times, we can have as much of it as we want. Now, I'm not saying we won't have troubles in the world, but I'm saying it, we have a choice. If we are indeed are born of the Spirit of God, if indeed the Spirit of God abides within us, indeed if he has planted love and faith within us, we can seek him. We can seek his help. We can seek to be with him. John 15, when Jesus said, I am the true vine and ye are the branches. He said, my Father is the husbandman. And he says, abide in me. And I've said many times that John chapter 15, there's three words there that are repeated several times. Abide, continue, and remain. He's saying, abide in him. Continue in his word and remain. If we abide, if we continue, then bless your hearts, those things will remain for us to enjoy. So he says, who, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Let me ask a question about that. Will everyone do that? Will God's people do that? Will God's people always do that? See, there's a... He enables us, gives us his Spirit. He enables us, but there's some choices that we make in life that sometimes limits how much time we actually abide with him. Now I realize that we have our responsibilities. We have our work to do. We have things that we need to occupy our time and our efforts while we live here. But we can do those things with a Christian attitude. We can do those things in a loving way. We can do those things with a thankful heart. We can go about in a Christian way, thinking of the Lord's goodness and mercy upon us, thankful for his mercy and his grace and the forgiveness that we have through our Lord and Jesus Christ. We can do those things keeping in mind the blessedness of being a child of God. Makes for a much better day, doesn't it? You know, perhaps you have a routine that you like to follow each day, and sometimes something will happen, and you've got to get up and get out early. You know, that's usually what happens with me. Something comes along, and I need to get up and get out early and do something that's out of my routine. And if I don't take the time for that prayer time. And sometimes I have to do it driving down the road, but I don't close my eyes. But sometimes we have to pray a little differently than we do at others. But if it's a matter that's of urgency or something, there's sometimes we just rush out and we don't attend to those things. And oh, it makes for a miserable day. We need that time with the Lord. You know, it's like tuning up an instrument. I don't play, but some of you brethren play an instrument, and I love that. But, you know, prayer early in the day is like tuning up an instrument so that as you go through the day, it's in good shape. You know, what good would it do to tune your instrument after you've played it? And we need that to tune our soul and feel the presence of the Lord and hope to receive that daily bread so that we can have strength for our day. All right, so I read the two questions. I've asked, who's going to do that? Who can do that? And before we get into how he answers that, what would you expect the character traits and the activities of the person who you think would be able to abide in thy tabernacle and dwell in thy holy hill? What kind of person would be able to do that? Well, we know from Scripture that unless we're born of the Spirit, we wouldn't have any interest or ability to do that. So we know then that that's a requirement. But bless your hearts, well, we understand that God chose out his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he purposed before the foundation of the world to send his Son into this world to save his people from their sins. We find verses like that, but we find Jesus also saying that. When he said, I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. So it was God's purpose to send his Son to save his people. In time, he sends his Spirit into our hearts and causes us to be born again. That's when we began to realize we're a sinner inside of a holy and righteous God. We have that, whether we've ever heard the gospel or not, we have that because of the presence of the Holy Spirit and because of who we are and what we do. But we've also been blessed to hear the good news of the gospel of our salvation. That though we have sinned, God sent his Son to this world to save sinners. And you know, I used to listen to a radio preacher by the name of J. Vernon McGee. And he said, you know, there's two kinds of sinners. Those that know that they're sinners and those that don't. Well, he makes us, by his Spirit, he makes us to know that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. There's a lot of things that we need to learn. There's a lot of ways in which we need to grow. But we, because of being born of the Spirit, we're made aware of that. We're awakened to our unrighteousness, that we're a vile sinner. Job would say, oh, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Bless your hearts, the gospel teaches us. God, the word of God teaches us. He sent his Son to this world to make his... When Jesus died on the cross, Paul in 2 Corinthians 5... I've forgotten the verse now. But anyway, the last verse of that chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All the blood of Jesus has put away the sins of all of his people. What a blessing that is. What a joy that is to come to know that. That we're righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Now that's what God has done for us. But what a blessing it is when he quickens us by his Spirit and blesses us to learn that. What a blessing that is. But we also realize that, like the Apostle Paul would teach us in Romans chapter 7, Paul said, O wretched man that I am. So while Jesus has put away our sins, we still got this old flesh body. Until Jesus comes again and changes us and fashions us like unto his glorious body and takes us home to be with him, we're going to dwell in these old bodies. And when we're born of the Spirit, we wish that God would have eradicated the old nature, but he doesn't. How else would we know how good God is if we don't know how sinful we are? Not that we can understand the depths of sin, but we continually come short. But God is so merciful. In all our days, we need to live in thanksgiving and gratitude to God for all that he has done for us. You know, the Apostle Paul was so full of gratitude. And I want to read a verse or two in 1 Timothy chapter 1 where Paul expresses how that he, what he was before the Lord caused him to be born of his Spirit. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 I'll begin in verse 12. He says, and what I'm getting to here is the fact that when we've been born of the Spirit and made to realize what we are and that we've got this old man about us, we need to be thankful and grateful to God every day for what he's done for us. That'll have a lot to do with our dwelling in his tabernacle, abiding in his tabernacle. And dwelling in his holy hill. Getting back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace, listen to this particularly, this verse particularly, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. What Paul received, not worthy of any of it, just like us, we're not worthy. That's what grace is all about, isn't it? Unmerited favor bestowed upon undeserving individuals. We are the happy recipients of the grace of God. And Paul realized that. Paul would tell us, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we'd have to say the same thing, wouldn't we? By the grace of God, we are what we are. Oh, as we think about the love, the mercy, the grace that God has bestowed upon us, that will help us to have the right frame of mind. That will help us to remember to be thankful to God for all the blessings that we not only have received in the putting away of our sins, but the blessings that we receive each day. He continues to provide for us and watch over us and care for us. So we have the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have the forgiveness of sins. But we still got this old flesh nature to deal with. And so we have to press into the kingdom. So from maybe what I'm saying is from what I've said, we see that God has established our relationship with him. We're a child of God because he chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. We have that relationship. And by regeneration, he makes us aware of our need of him. And he teaches us through his word how we should live. And we realize that we come short, but we desire to walk in fellowship with him. See, nothing can ever remove the relationship, but plenty of things can disturb our fellowship with God. And so we want to walk in fellowship with him. Remember Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So how can we, with our old nature of ours, how can we walk with a holy and righteous God? Well, he gives us his Spirit. He calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light that we should show forth his praises. And so as we desire to walk in fellowship with him, when we remember the mercy, the grace, the love that God has bestowed upon us, then it helps us to remember his will. It helps us to have more gratitude to carry into our day as we face the circumstances all around us. That's why it's important for us to remember the gospel, to remember God's goodness, to remember his love, that we might walk with him in thanksgiving and gratitude for all that he's done for us. We don't always do that, but we always should, shouldn't we? Yeah, we should. So the questions were, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Verse 2 says, he that walketh uprightly. He that walketh uprightly. Isn't that your desire? We're blessed to know the Lord and to know what he's done for us and all the blessings that we have in him, the forgiveness of our sins that we have through our Lord and Savior, the hope of heaven that is secure, that we're being kept for. I tell you, as we think about what we face in this life, bless your hearts, our only sanity is to keep our mind and our heart set upon the Lord, his goodness and his mercy. So the psalmist says here, how are we going to abide in his tabernacle? How are we going to dwell in his holy hill? He began by saying, he that walketh uprightly. This word defines what that upright walk is. This word tells us. This word is, as Paul told Timothy, it's a thorough furnisher unto all good works. So this word, his word, teaches us how that we should walk uprightly. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. Bless your hearts, as we're following the leadership of his Spirit, as we're doing what we can, as we go about our day doing things with a Christian demeanor, with a thankful heart, mindful of the goodness and mercy of our Lord, loving God and loving God's people, I tell you, that's working righteously. And when we see someone in need, if we have compassion in our hearts to do what we can, okay, there's just all kinds of ways that righteousness, because of the leadership of his Spirit within us, that righteousness can come out. And so, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness. and speaketh the truth in his heart. You know, Psalm 14:1 tells us some people speak what they think to be the truth. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now, notice it didn't say in his mind. It said in his heart. In his heart, he feels there is no God. Bless your hearts. Let me ask you the question tonight. Is there a God? Is he good? Is he merciful? Is he kind and gracious? Does he provide for us each day? We don't have to see his throne. We don't have to see him sitting upon his throne. But by faith we do, don't we? By faith we rejoice to know that he is upon his throne. And like Nebuchadnezzar learned, he worketh his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of men. And none can stay his hand or say to him, "What doest thou?" God is able to do his will. And so, as we trust in him, as we search his word and read and follow those things which he teaches us in his word, and bless your hearts, we can do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Not in the power of our might. We don't have any, do we? But in the power of his might, wholly trusting in him. Verse 3 says, "He that backbiteth not with his tongue." Backbiting. You know, to backbite is to say things that would take away from someone's character. And I suspect, if you're like me, I suspect that that's why a lot of what you hear in the news today just drags you down. Because there's so many that's taking every opportunity they can to criticize our president. Now, we don't know exactly, you know, what all that, but I don't like to hear it all the time, do you? Well, that's one thing. But let's be careful in our personal life that we're not tearing down somebody else's character. I've known people that, as far as I can remember, I never heard them say one bad thing about anybody. I wish the same could be said of me. I'm afraid I've not measured up to that. But someone that's going to abide in fellowship with the Lord, walk closely with the Lord. You know, when Amos said, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" If you're going to walk with the Lord, you got to be following the leadership of his spirit, and you got to be walking in those ways that's pleasing unto him. I know we come short, but we're trying to do what's right. We're trying to live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. And he blesses, he provides, and he helps us, strengthens us all along the way. But there's things, as the psalmist touches on here, there's things that we need to be careful that we make a part of our activity. We need to learn to let this word be a thorough furnisher so that we can learn how to live in a more perfect way. Now, this old flesh is not getting any better. But we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can grow. And one of the greatest things that we need to grow in is our love for God. His love for us is not ever going to be any greater. His love is perfect already. But we can grow. We can grow in our understanding. We can grow in knowing how loving and gracious and merciful God is. And that was a big part of what Paul was telling Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1. About how the Lord was exceeding abundant in love, faith, and mercy, and his grace. Oh, the more we experience that, the more thankful we are for his mercy and grace upon us. Speaketh the truth in his heart, and he that backbiteth not with his tongue. We could probably go over to James chapter 3 and spend a lot of time on that tongue, couldn't we? That tongue's a fire, and it's set on fire of hell. If you're not careful, you can do a lot of destruction with this old tongue. And so the psalmist says, he that backbiteth not with his tongue. We need to be careful about what we say. We need to be careful how we express opinions. We need to be careful. He said, speaketh truth in his heart and backbiteth not with his tongue. Make sure what we say is true. You know, Paul gave us a list of things over in 1 Thessalonians about whatsoever things are, in Philippians. He talks about whatsoever things are true and honest and lovely and of good report. That's not a complete list, but you know what I'm talking about. You know the passage I'm talking about. Make sure we think on those things and that our words are true and seasoned with grace. He goes on to say, the second part of that verse 3, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. Isn't it such a blessing to have a good neighbor? I got some of the best neighbors in the world. Some of you do too. What a blessing that is. Even outside the church, you know, when you have a good neighbor, what a blessing that is. Friendship among the people here in this world. And there again, that's another thing that just drags our heart down when we hear about people that are just stirring up so much trouble among people in so many places. And you know, it's not genuine complaints. There's an agenda there. And so it grieves us, doesn't it? Because it goes against everything that Christ came and taught us to be peaceable and loving and kind and forgiving. And all of those things that we are to do if we're going to abide in his tabernacle, or if we're going to abide in his tabernacle and dwell in his holy hill, all of those things that we want to do, and we hear so much of other things, discord and turmoil that's going on in the world. I tell you what a blessing it is to be able to find refuge in the Lord, to find it among God's people. I'm so thankful that we're able to get back together and encourage one another in the things of the Lord. What a blessing that is. And when we lie down at night, that we can thank the Lord that we know him, that we know who he is and what he's done, his mercy and his grace. We can lie down in peace with God and rest, receive strength for another day. What a blessing that is to feel the presence of the Lord with us as we go through this life. Not only nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. What a blessing that we have those around us to be a help, an encouragement to us. We don't want to be a talebearer. You know, somebody that's a talebearer, they just got some other motive in mind, don't they? We want to be faithful to one another. We want to do what we can to be an encourager and a strengthener. We want to build each other up and encourage one another in the Lord. What a blessing that is. And we're walking closer to the Lord. And bless your hearts, we have that inclination. It's stronger within us to do those things at all times. Verse 4, he says, in whose eyes, a vile person is contemned. Okay, contemned. That is, to see things for what it is, and I think the meaning is to assign a smaller or lesser value to those things. You know, we're living in a day where there's so many people that call good evil and evil good. There's so many people in very influential places that have great followings of people, and they're just leading them farther and farther away from godliness. It's so rampant in our culture. And I'm sure that's been going on for generations. But you know, we just see, and maybe our methods of communication are much better nowadays, but we just see it seems to be on such a grander scale now than it's ever been. So many things, especially that were done in public and broadcast over our media and things like that. There's so many things that at one time were more influenced by the principles of godliness than they are today. It just seems like there's so much lawlessness today, so much disregard for rules and rule of law. So much of that. Well, it's not over, because we've got help from the Lord. We've got a refuge in the Lord. And so whereas we wish things were a whole lot different, I'm thankful for the things that are the same with the Lord. He's still on his throne. His word is still true. And bless your hearts, if we'll abide in these things and observe the principles of righteousness and walk therein, we'll still be blessed. And he's able to watch over us and protect us and defend us. That's where our help has always been. Sometimes when the threat's not as evident, we don't think about it as much. But bless your hearts, we realize our help is in the Lord. And the more we're attuned to that, the more we're mindful of that, the more we're remind ourselves of that, bless your hearts, the closer we'll stay with him, thanking him for his mercy, enjoying the blessing of the presence of his Holy Spirit with us. He goes on to say, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. I tell you, that's like a breath of fresh air, isn't it? When we see somebody today that's honoring the Lord. I'm thankful. And I think Brother Thomas touched on it a little bit in his prayer tonight. I'm thankful there are others that are good people, that are God's people, that in our communities, that we may not agree exactly on every point of doctrine, but bless your hearts, they're good people. They love the Lord. They're worshiping him and the truth that they have. And we can enjoy that fellowship that we can have with them, Christian fellowship. We can enjoy that. We can honor those that honor the Lord. Now, like I said, it's like a breath of fresh air or a drink of cool water to a thirsty soul. I tell you, when you see all these things going on in the world, but you see somebody standing up for what's right. I want to honor somebody. I want to help somebody like that. I want to encourage them. I want to do what I can to be a help to them. If they're in a place of authority, if they're in a leadership position and they want to do what's right, I want to be their helper. I want to be praying for that kind of a person. That's what helps us stay close when we're doing what's right. All right? So he honors them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Now, this is not just foolishly making vows, but this is being committed to your word. You know, one of the things that I'm so thankful for is that the Lord doesn't change. That he cannot change. I mean, that's one of the things. You know, there's a number of things that the scripture says that God cannot do. He cannot lie. He cannot deny himself. He cannot die. You know, there's a number of things like that. Okay? And even though those are things that he cannot do, yet in those things he's glorified. And once he's given us his word, knowing that he cannot lie, then bless your hearts, we can trust that word. And God is going to be faithful to do what he says he'll do. And he's promised to watch over us and take care of us. He's promised to provide for us. He's already sent his son to eternally save us from our sins. Heaven will be our home. We may have troubles here. We're going to have troubles here. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I can find good cheer in knowing that he has overcome the world. What a blessing. I need to remember that, don't you? I need to remember that on a regular basis. There's so little I could do to affect any change in this world, but he can do what he wills. He can do anything that's his will to do. I used to try in my prayers, I used to try to ask for this and ask for that, and sometimes I still do. But today, with so much confusion and so many things that were where we're being told one thing, but it looks like something else must be happening, I'm just asking the Lord to work in and through them mightily for his own glory. He knows what needs to be done. I don't. He knows what's the truth. We hear what we hear, but we don't know what the truth is many times. But he does. He knows. He knows exactly what's going on. So we need to pray, Lord, work in them. Those that are trying to do your will. And really, that's even trying to put a limitation on him, isn't it? I mean, for instance, who would have thought that Saul of Tarsus would be one of the most able defenders of the church? How many of the disciples was praying for Saul of Tarsus? I wonder. Now, I know that, you know, Jesus told us to pray for our enemies, so I suspect there were some that was actually praying. But in the practical sense, how many of the disciples do you think were praying for Saul of Tarsus? And there's some characters that are very big on our national scene that I just wonder how many people actually really sincerely are praying for them. You know, except in a sense of praying that they'd be removed or something like that. Lord, I don't know, but you do. We need your help. We're so weak, but you're strong. Help us, Lord, in whatever way is pleasing to you. If it means changing their hearts so that they will honor you, hallelujah. If it means removing them from office, whatever. But Lord, whatever is your will. That's what we want. He'll do his will. We need to be in line with his will. If we want to abide in his tabernacle and dwell in his holy hill with him and enjoying fellowship with him. Verse 5, another very practical thing. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. Not greedily using the things the Lord has put in our hands, but trusting God. The Lord's our paymaster, isn't he? The Lord's in charge of blessings, not us. We look to him and trust him for the things we stand in need of. You know, Haggai gives us a very good lesson about how that there's times when we've sown much, looked for much, and yea, we brought in little. You know, our desires quite often don't match up with what the Lord would have for us. That's why it's so important that we seek His will. Seek to know His will. Seek to do His will. Isn't that what "seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness" is all about? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And His righteousness, don't leave that part out. You know, it's easy to emphasize the first part of that and the last part of that, but there's something in the middle that's vitally important, isn't it? And His righteousness. Seek to follow Him in a way that's pleasing to Him, that's in accord with His word, that puts us in line with His will. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have our way that we want to go so oftentimes, but we need to be seeking, Lord, show me the way. Help me to know what I should do. All of these things that he's talking about here are very practical in nature. It's not for a home in heaven. It's to have a little heaven here below. To try to walk with God. To try to stay close to Him. To have our mind and our heart transformed by His word. Not being conformed to the world. The world doesn't care about the word of God. But we do. And we want to have our heart and our mind transformed so that we're thinking godly thoughts. We're walking uprightly. We're doing righteously. We're walking with God. The last verse, or the last half of that fifth verse says, "He that doeth these things shall never be moved." That's encouraging, isn't it? He that doeth these things shall never be moved. We're safe in the Lord. We have a refuge in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can go to Him. We can, as Peter says, we can cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. How much does He care? How much does He care for us? Well, He cared for us before the foundation of the world. He cared for us enough to go to the cross. He cared for us enough that He always did the Father's will. He said, I do always those things that please Him. He's our perfect example. He's the one that obtained our eternal redemption. He's the one that keeps us each day. So may God help us to seek His face and His loving favor each day. Help us to look to Him. Help us to keep in mind the mercy, the grace that's been bestowed upon us, so that we can with thanksgiving and gratitude live our lives according to His will. There's so much there. You know, this is an Old Testament passage. I've tried to blend it with the truths that we know about in the New Testament. But you know, David had that same spirit leading him that we have tonight. That same spirit can lead us in the paths of righteousness today. May God help us to seek to know His will. May God help us to seek to do His will. And may we thank Him every day for for his mercy and grace upon us, that we can abide in his tabernacle, that we can dwell in his holy hill. You know, we don't have a temple in Jerusalem that we go to now like the Old Testament brethren had, or a tabernacle in the wilderness. We don't have that. But we do have a temple, don't we? Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't have the hill of Zion that we go to like they did over there. But bless your hearts, we have the kingdom. We have the church. We have his presence among us. Oh, may God help us to enjoy the blessings of what we do have and seek him daily, love him dearly, and cherish the mercy and the grace he's given us so that our lives would show forth the praises of him that's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. May God bless you, is our prayer.